what I'm reading from is a good little magazine. Somebody subscribed for two or three for me, so I have the good fortune of getting several copies. That, by the way, is Herodium. Herod's mountain fortress, where the search for Herod's tomb goes on. By the way, Herod was an Edomian, which traces back to the Edomites, a mixture of Esau moving in on the Jews, which ought to be interesting to consider one of these days. This is May-June issue, 1983. I'll read the first paragraph and then skip along. Anyone assessing Tom Crotzer's claim, the headline of the article is, Tom Crotzer has found the Ark of the Covenant. Or has he? Anyone assessing Tom Crotzer's claim that he's found the original Ark of the Covenant in all its gilded glory must surely exercise caution in light of Crotzer's additional claims to have previously located the Tower of Babel, Noah's Ark, the City of Adam, and the Great Stone of Abel, where the son of Adam was killed. On the other hand, when Crotzer says he actually took color photographs of the Golden Ark of the Covenant, normal curiosity requires taking a look. Tom Crotzer lives in Winfield, Kansas, where he serves as director of an organization he calls the Institute for Restoring History International. He also runs a construction company and leads a group of 145 people who, according to Crotzer, live in a community like that formed by the Essenes in the 2nd century B.C. Crotzer was guided in his search for the Ark of the Covenant by the work of one Antonio Frederick Pewterer, a Californian who had searched for the Ark of the Covenant in the 1920s. A tradition preserved in the apocryphal book of the Maccabees, book 2, chapters 2, verses 4 to 8, states that shortly before the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem in 587 B.C., by the way, the Apocrypha simply was given the name because they are not included in the ancient Hebrew scriptures. But until American and British Bible societies took apocryphal scripture out of the King James, they were included. The Maccabees states that shortly before the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem in 587 B.C., the prophet Jeremiah hid the Ark of the Covenant in a cave on Mount Nebo, the mountain east of the Jordan River, from which Moses had viewed the Promised Land. Jeremiah blocked the entrance to the cave and prophesied that, quote, the place shall remain unknown until God finally gathers his people together. Verse 7, chapter 2, 2 Maccabees. Can I just go ahead and read up to where we were? I'm going to do it anyway. Pewterer explained Mount Nebo, or explored Mount Nebo and his neighboring peak, Mount Pisgah. And here's a picture of Mount Pisgah. Used to be a church in the Los Angeles area. It may still be here, named Mount Pisgah. Well, here's the real McCoy with the monastery on the top of it. There it sits, near Mount Nebo. Pewter explored Mount Nebo and its neighboring peak, Mount Pisgah, and the Nebo Range in search of the Ark of the Covenant. He didn't claim to have found it, but he did claim to have found an inscription on a wall blocking the passage, which he copied and took to Hebrew University to have deciphered. According to Crotzer, the inscription read, quote, herein lies the golden Ark of the Covenant, end quote. No copy of the alleged inscription survives, and no one knows who at Hebrew University was supposed to have read it. I didn't read this last night. This I'm going to add. In a pamphlet Pewterer published in 1927, he reports squeezing into a cave leading to a long vault or corridor with hieroglyphics on the wall. At the end of the corridor, he found two locked doors. Pewterer took notes of the hieroglyphics, and when he returned to Jerusalem, quote, a Hebrew scholar, end quote, deciphered his, quote, hieroglyphic, end quote, signs, quote, numerically. The numerical value of the signs, apparently they were interpreted as Hebrew letters, which also have numerical values, total 1927, according to Pewterer. He interpreted this to mean he would discover the Ark of the Covenant in 1927. After uncovering the ark, he planned to build a tourist resort here out of these already prepared stones of old ruins. Feuderer's pamphlet solicited funds for his project. "What will you give to see the lost ark restored to Jerusalem?" he asked. "Will you help us materially?" They'd been at it for years, folks. He wrote a little pamphlet in Palestine Speaks. "Why I believe the golden ark is on Mount Nebo." And here's the old boy right here. Here's Antonio Frederick Feuderer. Let me tell you, anything he said would sound convincing looking like that. He said, "I believe the golden ark of the golden ark of the covenant, the world's greatest and most valuable antique relic of all history, has been trailed to its lair. Trailed to its last hiding place on Mount Nebo, where Jeremiah hid it about 2,544 years ago. In verification of this, I offer both the historic as well as prophetic data. I have collected convincing evidence enough to make it hard not to believe that the ark will return again to old Jerusalem." Now, this was written in 1931. "The return of ark would stagger the world, may change the belief of millions of people of all nations for the better, be the greatest blow skeptics ever received, and perhaps be the greatest modern proof of the authenticity of the Holy Writ. The tablets of Sinai, written about 3,525 years ago, now in the ark, may bring to this whole world a feeling akin to Belshazzar, king of Babylon, on the night when he too saw God's handwriting upon the walls of that famous city before its consummation, which made the king and all his nobles tremble with fear when that terrible warning, 'Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting,' stared them in the face." Boy, he was warming up, wasn't he? Telling you, if he had been on TV, he dresses funny. He wears funny hats. A close associate of Feuderer's, Clinton Losey, fell heir to Feuderer's papers. So in the fall of 1981, Kreutzer went to see Losey. "I'd like to go see him myself." Losey, a retired minister now in his late 80s, lives in Kennewick, Washington. I preached in a convention there. From Losey, Kreutzer obtained a sketch made by Feuderer showing where Feuderer had found the inscription on a passage blocked with a cement wall that Feuderer could not penetrate. Armed with Feuderer's sketch, Kreutzer and three associates proceeded to Mount Nebo, Jordan, in October 1981. The Franciscans of Terra Santa own the summit. They guard the site's Byzantine church and other ancient remains, and have for decades conducted careful archaeological excavations there. You know, you got to hand it to these Catholics. I mean, they can own property and keep it sacrosanct and private in any government, it seems, in the world. And here in the land of the free, you can't keep the government out of a church. I mean, the Catholics, I got to hand it to them. They learned a long time ago to hide their money from everybody and get a lot of it. And they own property everywhere. Some of the most oppressive regimes. Leave them alone. In fact, I saw a police story television show the other night where some mafia gangsters had hid their loot in a convent because nobody went there to look. I got to hand it to them. And I criticized them. More power to them. They figured out how to build walls and lock gates. You know that this Kreutzer deal has closed Jordan to worldwide archaeological efforts, and those Franciscans are safe. Prof. From Losey, Kratzer obtained a sketch made by Feuderer showing where Feuderer had found the inscription on a passage blocked with a cement wall that Feuderer couldn't penetrate. Armed with Feuderer's sketch, Kratzer and three associates proceeded to Mount Nebo, Jordan, in October 1981. The Franciscans of Terra Santa own the summit. They guard the site's Byzantine church and other ancient remains and have for decades conducted careful archaeological excavations there. They're in charge. I can't get by it again. I admire them. One of the things I admire about the Catholics is their ability to survive, and build their fences, and keep their secrets. Worldwide. They keep digging. They own it. They own all these places. I mean, what if the ark is there? How'd you like to own the land? Give them credit, boy. They land in the right places. Armed with Feuderer's sketch, they proceeded to Mount Nebo, Jordan, in October 81. Kratzer and his three associates spent 4 days in the area sleeping in sleeping bags. On Mount Pisgah, they found a depression or crevice, which they believed to be the cave opening identified in Feuderer's sketch. Now, here's the sketch. Come on over here, if you will, Mike. Let's look at the sketch and see if we can find it. Here's the road from Masada. Take the road from Masada over into Jordan. There's the Byzantine church, rock-cut chambers there. There's all this sketch. That's what they work from, this map. Looking like, it's like looking for that lost fortune in Arizona. On Mount Pisgah, they found this depression, which they believed to be the cave opening identified in Feuderer's sketch, without a permit to excavate. They removed a 10... That's non-Christian right off the bat. Without a permit to excavate, they removed a tin sheet covering the opening and proceeded into a passageway at 2 a.m. on October 31st, 1981, the third night of their stay, 2 in the morning. Boy, this is exciting. The passage they explored exactly matched Feuderer's sketch, according to Kratzer. The initial passageway, Kratzer estimates, is about 600 feet long, 4 to 6 feet wide, and about 7 feet high. It led through several room-like enlargements with numerous tomb openings on both sides containing 2 or 3 levels of tombs. In the course of their exploration, Kratzer and his associates illegally broke through 2 walls. The walls were made of mud and rock mixed together, sort of like cement. It was obvious to Kratzer that someone had been there not long before and had plugged up the wall upon leaving. At the end of the passageway, Kratzer encountered a third, more substantial wall. Working with a handpick, he and his crew illegally cut an opening about 4 feet by 4 feet through a soft part of the wall. They saw no inscriptions. The opening they cut led into a rock-hewn chamber about 7 feet by 7 feet. According to Kratzer's estimate, this chamber lay precisely under the Byzantine church on the summit of the mountain and was connected to the church by a perpendicular shaft. That means it was right under this church, just dead underneath it. In this chamber, this is where I was, wasn't it? In this chamber, Kratzer claims to have seen a gold-covered rectangular He's going to do it to you again. In this chamber, Kratzer claims to have seen a gold-covered rectangular box that he believes is the Ark of the Covenant. The box was closed, and the explorers did not touch it. They did, however, measure it. It measured 62 inches long, 37 inches wide, and 37 inches high. In the corner of the chamber lay gauze-covered packages tied with leather thongs. Kreutzer took these to be the cherubim that once sat on the ark, but he didn't touch the packages. Beside the box were poles passing through gold rings matching the description of the ark in Exodus 25. Now, it's okay to stay here, but when you start getting way down there, Mike, you're getting out of line, see? Go take pictures of the other cameramen. Beside the box were poles passing through gold rings matching the description of the ark in Exodus 25. With their flash-equipped cameras, Kreutzer's group took color slides of what they had seen. Then they left. And returned to this country after unsuccessfully attempting to interest the Franciscans, the palace authorities in Amman, and an archaeology professor at the University of Jordan in their finds. What the authorities in Jordan were not interested in, UPI in Kansas was. UPI reporter Darrell Day wrote a story at Kreutzer's request, datelined Winfield, Kansas. The story went out over the A-wire, the main news wire, to papers all over the country, which featured the story in the next day's editions. Day proudly asserts, "The story got more of a play than anything I wrote in my life." That's where the news comes from. Kreutzer refused to give his pictures to UPI. So UPI released the story without them. Kreutzer refused to release the pictures because, he says, God had told him to release the pictures only to the London banker, David Rothschild. Smart cookie. Kreutzer claims that Rothschild is a direct descendant of Jesus. And, says Kreutzer, although Rothschild is not necessarily saved, God will put it into his heart to rebuild the temple. Kreutzer has written to Rothschild, but Rothschild will have nothing to do with him. That answers one half of the questions. Although Kreutzer will not release his pictures, he will show them to selected visitors to his home in Winfield. Write him a letter, Sammy, for me, will you, and ask if you and I can go look at them. One such visitor was a prominent and highly respected archaeologist, Siegfried H. Horn. For 16 years, Horn led the Andrews University excavations at Tel Heshbon, a site 4 miles northeast of Mount Nebo. Horn is the author of 12 scholarly books and over 800 articles. Horn was asked to go to Winfield by a group who knew of his scholarly reputation and standing and who wanted a respected authority to examine Kreutzer's claims. Hey, am I boring you? Am I the only one who read this story, or was it circulated that the ark was found in Jordan? Anybody hear that? Hold your hands up. A lot of people did. Horn, confident that Kreutzer had not found the Ark of the Covenant, well, that makes him prejudiced before he starts. So I'm as skeptical of what Horn says as anything that could be said. That's no way to go research something. Horn, confident that Kreutzer had not found the Ark of the Covenant, well, if he is confident before he went, he's going to make sure he didn't. Nevertheless, agreed to go not only because of the intense interest aroused by the UPI story, but also because Horn felt the best way to handle such claims was to examine the evidence and then to report what artifact Kreutzer had erroneously identified as the Ark of the Covenant. Hey, that's not research. I'm back on Kreutzer's side. Give me some mic upstairs, will you? That's awful. Horn planned to be in Jordan in the summer of 1982 as a consultant on a new archaeological expedition scheduled to begin at Tel Jalul, just 10 miles southeast of Mount Nebo. He would talk to the Franciscans and the Jordanian Department of Antiquities, look at the objects Kreutzer had photographed, and report to the world what they really were. Big deal. The first step was to go to Winfield, Kansas. Horn was cordially received by Kreutzer. I'd have thrown him out. Nobody comes to research something with preconceived notions. Who described his expedition in considerable detail. As a result, Horn believes he can locate the cave where Kratzer saw the gold box, the gauze-covered packages, and gold rings. Kratzer also showed Horn his color slides. Unfortunately, they came out very badly. By whose testimony? This guy's prejudice going in. All but two showed absolutely nothing. Oh, come on now. I can't believe that even Kratzer would show somebody a picture that shows absolutely nothing. I'm starting to get more interested as I go along. You write him, Sammy. We'll go there with an open mind. Tell the world on television. Of the two that registered images, one is fuzzy. By whose testimony? Horn's. Who had his mind made up before he went there? And it's an old statement, you will fight harder for something after you say it than you would for the same thing if you hadn't said it. That's not research. But one is fuzzy, but does depict a chamber with a yellow box in the center. Okay, we got a little bit. The other slide is quite good, according to Horn. Gives a clear front view of the box. Okay. Horn is a practiced draftsman, and shortly after he left Kratzer, he made a sketch from memory of the box as he observed it in the slide. Well, now wait a cotton-picking minute. Why should I believe Horn? Drawing pictures from his memory. He's got an axe to grind. He's got to prove he was right. He made a sketch from memory of the box as he observed it in the slide. The front of the box appeared to be covered with a sheet of bronze containing a pattern of small holes. Around the edges and down the middle are metal strips with a diamond pattern. Here's his sketches. Well, why should I believe his sketches? Horn is not certain the diamond and triangular shaped pattern may have been punched out of the strips. Well, that's not a very good memory then. In any event, the strips are lighter yellow than the underlying metal sheet. The regularity of the patterns indicated to Horn that the metal was machine worked. I wonder if the pyramid was machine worked. In the upper right corner of the face of the box was a nail with a modern-looking head. Horn concluded, I do not know what the object is, but the pictures convince me that it is not an ancient artifact, but of modern fabrication with machine-produced decorative strips and an underlying metal sheet. Well, he hasn't convinced me. Has he convinced you? You got to have a pretty good memory to draw pictures that can decide an issue. The next step was for Horn to go to Mount Nebo to identify correctly the object Kratzer mistakenly took to be the Ark of the Covenant. Well, that's real research, isn't it? See, I find it very hard to believe that it's there for other reasons. But don't go do research this closed in your mind. Wonder how far evolution would have gotten if all research had been from that preconceived view. Christians going out to prove it doesn't exist. Darwin was no fool, in spite of what some fools have tried to say he was. I don't believe in evolution as it applies to man. But I'm convinced that the evidence is there sufficient to justify a hypothesis of sequential involvements of types of development, or God created the earth in such a way that paleontological levels are designed to give us that false impression, but not man. manlike creatures, yes. I can find them. Missing links abound in bureaucratic offices. They're not Adam's descendants. Well, now we're getting down to research. The next step was for Horn to go to Mount Nebo. But Horn never went to Jordan. The archaeological excavation at Tel Jalul, on which he was to serve as consultant, was abruptly canceled on June 5, 1982. Not by the Jordanian Department of Antiquities, which had issued the excavation permit, but by the Prime Minister's office. Unfortunately, Kreutzer's false claim. Hey, I don't think it's been proven false yet.
This is the end of Side 1.